everyone. Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Dora Sherry. Get ready for some lively discussion.
It's time.
It's Dora. Let's talk with Dora.
Let's talk about it.
It's Dora.
Come on, y'all, let's talk about it.
Let's talk with Dora.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk About It. I'm your host, Dora Sherry. Tonight's guest is someone very special to me. She's the author of a book, No Greater Love, a story about her life after a fire left her at 2.5 years old with most of her body covered with third-degree burns. She's also my very own niece. Please help me welcome Becky Vaughn. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, Aunt Dora. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my gosh, sweetheart. Thank you for joining us tonight. Your story is the perfect example of how a beauty can come from a tragedy, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you don't remember you don't remember anything about the house fire or sometime after that, do you?
No, I don't remember the house fire at all or those initial months in the hospital. I don't remember anything before the age of about 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's probably what I figured. I'll never forget when it happened. Shortly after that, the first time I went to see you was one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in my life, to walk into that room at Shriners Hospital, which, thank God for that organization, right? Yeah, that's one we really love. But the first time I walked in to see you, you looked like a little piece of charcoal. It was, I never felt so hopeless and so just lost and scared in my life. But since then, you said like 3 or 4 years old, you start to remember?
That's probably my earliest memories when I was 3 or 4, maybe 5. Yeah.
That's the memories I like to go to, are the times after the fire when you would be in the hospital. And fortunately, you were in Cincinnati, Shriners Institute, and I live not too far away in Piqua. So I was able to go down and visit you and take you little bribes to get you to walk. Do you remember that?
Me Barbies.
Yeah, I remember walking into the hospital one day and you had just had some reconstructive surgery and you were screaming bloody murder. You didn't want to walk. You didn't want to do anything. And as soon as you saw me and I held this little doll I had up for you, you came running. You're running, running, running. You forgot all about that surgery and everything. It was always fun to come and see you and see your face light up when you saw me. And I remember all the times after that, talking about the Shriners, how wonderful they are. All the times after that, as you grew up with the reconstructive surgeries and, oh my God, countless, aren't they? Countless surgeries.
That's over 60, over maybe 65.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And look at you now. You look amazing. You look beautiful. But I remember those times that your mom would say, okay, go for this surgery and Aunt Dora will come and spend the week with you in the hospital and then you can go home with her afterwards. So I was always your bribe system, wasn't I? You'd do anything to spend time with me and vice versa. I would with you too. Now your life, let's talk about growing up with the after effects. Like everyone can see that you have some scars from it, but it sure hasn't taken away your beauty, has it? You're the definition, like I said, to me, of beauty coming from the tragedy.
That's the love of Jesus in me. That's the beauty coming out.
Oh my gosh. It sure is. It sure is. And it wasn't easy for you to always have that love for Jesus, was it? Or to realize that he had love for you. Imagine growing up, you're in a wheelchair. Your hands, you don't have the fingers that we have, correct? that most of us.
I lost my fingers in the house fire. They had to be removed because of infection.
Yeah.
But I've learned to adapt and to do things.
You've adapted very well too. You're now an author.
Yes.
Your book, oh, No Greater Love, Becky. What a testimony. Oh, you, what inspired you to finally write that? I know your mother wrote a book, More Precious Than Gold, your mother and father. And I know for a long time you said you didn't want to do it. You didn't want to write about your story. Can you tell us what turned you around on that? What made you finally decide to do that, to write?
My mom's death after she died. I hadn't really had a vision as to what direction my book would take until after she died. And God gave me the verse on 15:13. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. And God impressed on my heart that that's what my mom did for me. She laid down her life to save mine. She didn't lose her life, though, till over 30 years later. As a result of complications from the house fire. But she laid on her life that night, May the 20th, 1978, to save my life. And that's what Jesus did for us on the cross, to save us from our sins.
Yeah, she had to go through the fire to get to you. It was a kitchen fire, right? Some gasoline or something rolled under the stove. And she had to run through the fire, get you, and run back out of the house. So you were both burned.
Yes. Yes. Her arms were severely burned and her legs.
I think the only place that she wasn't burned so badly was where she was cradling you.
To her chest. On her chest, yes. And half of her face was burned.
Yeah, yeah. She still came out beautiful too, didn't she? And what a ministry she had, huh? All across the world. She was amazing. And you've been, speaking of ministry across the world, you, young lady, have been how many places sharing your story and your testimony?
Probably close to 30, yeah. 30 countries, maybe 20, 25 countries.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And all in a wheelchair that's not motorized like you have at home. Your dad and mom and missionaries and everyone pushed you all around the world in that wheelchair.
Didn't yes.
They? Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the best times of my life, is being able to travel and share my testimony. And I got to see how people live in other countries and they don't have it as well as we do here in the United States.
Yeah. Makes you realize how lucky
they're happy. They're happy and they're joyful.
Yeah, yeah. They're grateful for what they have.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. You didn't always have, I know, you didn't always have this sweet, loving attitude toward Jesus, did you? When you were growing up, what was it like as a teenager? Did you ever feel any anger at God or any kind of thing like that growing up?
I accepted the Lord and accepted him into my heart when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. But I did struggle as a teenager. I did struggle with accepting what God had allowed in my life. Struggled with wanting to be like my friends who were driving, who had boyfriends, who were able to participate in sports and things. And I wanted to do those things too. I struggle with anger about that and accepting that. But I had a relationship about 20 years ago, and through that, God helped me to accept the way that he made me. Psalm 139:14 says, "For I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And he's used that verse in my life to help me know that he didn't make a mistake.
Absolutely not. You're definitely not a mistake. You are a treasure to so many, so many people. Talked about being like other. Now you drive, right?
Yes, I do.
And how is that possible? How long did that take you to learn how to drive?
Well, I wanted to drive when I was, 16, the normal age that kids learn to drive. But I didn't know what that would mean for me. I had to have a special van, with a wheelchair ramp, and I have to drive with special equipment. I have to drive with hand controls. So when I actually started learning to drive, and I got my driver's license, was probably about close to 10 years.
Yeah.
By the time we started figuring out what to do with the van, for a van for me, and then by the time I got my driver's license, it was about 10 years.
Yeah. I remember when Uncle Paul, my husband, gave you the van from his dealership, and you drove it up to the lake house that day. Wow. We were all in tears because it took you long enough. I also remember the first ride I took with you in the van. That was fun. Every turn, I think you went. But now you're driving like crazy, huh?
Now I'm more confident. And yeah. I drive with hand controls now, which gives me so much more confidence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have a custom, like a little cup or something on the steering wheel that you put your hand in, right?
Yes. Since I don't have fingers on my left hand, my dad actually helped design a cuff that I can put my hand down in, and it's like a steering knob, but it's in like the shape of my hand. So I just put my hand down in that and I can steer. And then, so that's on my left. And then on the right, I have a lever that I push forward for brake and back for gas.
Wow. Wow. Whole new world, isn't it?
It is.
Get out there. Be a little independence. You talked about your dad designing that. Your father is one of the most able to do it people I've ever known in my life.
My needs kind of had to make him be that way, because he always had to invent things that would work for me.
Yeah, yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of your father, when the fire happened, he was studying at Bob Jones University to become a minister, was he?
Yes.
Earning his doctorate.
Yes, he was actually working towards his bachelor's degree. He was the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. He had become the pastor when I was a year old. The fire was when I was two. So he was out visiting some people in the church when we had the house fire.
Yeah, I remember him saying that he was driving home and he saw all the fire trucks and police cars and everything, and just prayed, please don't let it be my family.
Yeah.
The church that he was building at that time was what? Wasn't it a little tin building with just a few persons?
Yes. Yes, it was on Hammett Street, and it was a little tiny building. And after the house fire, membership got so much bigger. And we had to have several services a day to accommodate them.
I remember that. Oh, there was such an outpouring of love from the community, and not just the community of Greenville and Taylor, South Carolina, but all over the world.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
People praying for you and praying for your mom
yes. And our church really grew.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. If people could just see it now, it's such a gorgeous church. And how long did your father pastor there before he retired and became pastor emeritus?
30 years.
30 years. Wow. What a ministry has grown in so many ways from this, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Another one is Christian Treasure, or Hidden Treasure, mm-hmm. Christian School.
Yes.
I remember when it was time for you to go to school. As I said, your father was a student at Bob Jones University, and he went to Dr. Bob and said, hey, I have my two older kids in elementary school here. We have a junior high, a high school, and a college. Why don't we have a handicapped Christian school? Becky is in need of one. And what did Dr. Bob say? Well, Pastor Vaughn, why don't you go build one?
Yes, if that's calling you to do it, then you then he wants you to do it.
Yeah. And so now Hidden Treasure is, how big is it? It started, what, with you and one other student, right?
It was me and one other student. And it started when I was five in 1981. And I think there's around 35 students now. But it's in its 45th or 46th year.
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's right beside the church.
On it the is. Same property. It's same campus.
Yeah. Now, you also went to Bob Jones University.
Yes.
And I know just how you are able to persevere, persist, because how long did it take you to get a degree there, and what degree do you have now?
Well, I started at Bob Jones in 2000, and then I graduated in 2009 with a degree in biblical counseling.
Wow. Wow. And then you went back and worked at the school, didn't you?
For a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Talk about coming full circle, huh? And God having a purpose.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
You and I just talked recently, too. You told me something that I didn't realize. You're interested in working with addiction and recovery.
Yes.
Very.
Yes, I've been. There's a ministry at my church where I was going called Faith Baptist Church called Freedom That Lasts. Uh-huh. And ministry to people with addictions. They're called addiction strugglers. People with addictions to drugs or alcohol. And we just Freedom That Lasts disciples them and helps them get their lives back on track, but it gives them a biblical foundation.
Yeah. That's something we all need, isn't it?
Yes.
If we don't have that, I don't know how we get through things. I don't know how you and I would have gotten through anything without that faith in God and trust in Him. And
yes, for sure.
Yeah. So what's next for you now? What are you up to now? Besides I know one thing you're up to. You have a Facebook page that is extremely inspiring. Can you tell us what that is?
It's called Eternal Perspective. I started it during COVID because we weren't able to go anywhere and I wanted to have a ministry. I wanted to have a ministry. So I invited most of my friends and then they invited their friends and I post Bible verses on it every day and I welcome other people to share prayer requests or to join my group. That'd be great. I have men and women. I started it just for women originally, but there's men and women on the group now. But it's a blessing to me at least, to share my Bible verses every day. Just something I've read from my Bible reading in that morning.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You worked very hard to build this ministry. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You didn't stop. You didn't let Satan stop you. You didn't let the conditions stop you. And you're not going to let anything stop you now. I'm going to come and see you very soon.
Sounds good.
And we'll do another interview and maybe I'll come down and speak to your group about recovery and addiction because we both know that I've been through it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, Becky, thank you so much, honey, for joining us tonight. You're my heart, you're my love, and you're my hero.
You're welcome. I love you very much.
And I'll see you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds I love good. You so much.
Love you too.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.